Hello and welcome back to session 7. Before we begin, I just wanted to ask how you got on last week. Did you relate to anything on the workaholic quiz? What was your work-life balance like before you got ill? That's an interesting one, isn't it? I know if I had filled in the well-being wheel, it certainly wouldn't have rolled very smoothly. But once we see that, we can start making those all-important adjustments and changes. Today's session addresses a nutrition area of the wheel and is called You Are What You Eat. The downward spiral of my chronic symptoms seemed to have a severe effect on my digestive system. I started bloating and having pain with so many foods that I didn't know where to start. I had migraines and have read that citrus fruit, coffee, and chocolate could trigger this, so I avoided them. The bloating and irritable bowel syndromes, IBS, were causing me so much misery that I started cutting out bread and dairy. I reintroduced bread, but then something else would set me off. I craved carbohydrates, chocolate, and all the sweet foods, and felt extremely shaky if I didn't eat very regularly. The problem was that I was trying to figure out all of this on my own. And I found I could be strict one day, but then another day, if I felt low, I would just give up and eat whatever I wanted and brace myself for the consequences. You may be struggling in a similar way. I had suffered from irritable bowel syndrome for many years, and it flared up when I was nervous, if my stomach was empty, and when I was full. I had been through all the regular tests and was told to eat more fiber and avoid stress. More fibre sometimes caused a severe reaction, so I read all I could and I eventually came across an old book called The Hay Diet, Made Easy. It was one of those eureka moments. I could totally understand why my digestive system was struggling so much. It made complete sense. The Hay Diet is otherwise known as food combining. Its message is so simple. Don't mix foods that fight. The premise is that we can inadvertently create a war zone on a plate. Inside your body, the enzymes that digest the starchy chips will fight with the enzymes that you produce to digest high-protein foods. This was exactly what I could feel going on in my body whenever I ate, a war. How about you? I learned that when you eat carbohydrates at the same time as protein, that the different enzymes that are required to digest them cancel each other out. Then, some simple rules work for me. They won't necessarily work for everyone, but they're a good place to start if you're struggling with digestive issues, to see if you feel some relief. We will cover information on different dietary options later. The rules I followed were 1. Cut out processed food. 2. Separate starches from protein. 3. Eat 50% fresh fruit and vegetables. I learned from the Hay Diet about creating the right environment in my own body, and this excerpt really excited me. It said, "If we give our own body the right conditions, it will come to our aid, releasing its own remarkable healing power. All we have to do is give it the raw material to do the job and take away everything that hinders its work." Jackie Habgood. I tried this and got great results, and then I would forget sometimes or just thought I might get away with it, and guess what happened? I would be back to experiencing all the discomfort and misery of IBS. If your body is struggling to digest and absorb food, it is using up a lot of energy that you could use in much more productive ways. I also learned that our body is supposed to warn us when we're not doing what's right for us. The more we ignore it, the more painful the message. This simple diet that takes us back to eating what our bodies were designed to cope with has helped millions of people regain their health, normalize their weight, look younger, and regain vitality. It literally can change your life. If the body is depleted and you experience multiple symptoms, Nutrition is the vital starting point to rebuild your health at cellular level. And the building blocks of our cells are the nutrients that we take in and absorb every day. To me, the feeling of having a calm, pain-free tummy is one of life's joys and worth taking the time to change those old, harmful eating habits. Here, Kelly shares her experience of why nutrition was an integral part of her recovery. She recalls, "I used to get shaky if I didn't eat for a couple of hours, so would carry glucose tablets with me. I really had to learn and understand much more about nutrition. It took me a long time, even though I did change my eating habits within the first year and took various supplements. I never saw a nutritionist because, to be honest, I thought all they really did was to advise you on what to eat, and I felt like I had a good diet. But then, I read Patrick Holroyd's book, 6 Weeks to Super Health. I had been suffering with IBS. For years, I didn't get tested with anything else as my GP said it was just irritable bowel syndrome. But the more I read and understood, the more I realised that there was something else going on. I then had some tests done with Chinese herbalists and avoided the food they stated as well. Years later, though, I still had the same problems. I then found a lady who came recommended to me, and she had a machine that tested food, so I avoided these foods that I was intolerant to. It did help me, as I lost some weight, and to some degree felt well compared to before. But I still had so many symptoms, especially bloating. So bad that I sometimes looked 6 months pregnant. It was so embarrassing, painful, and uncomfortable, especially having to undo my trousers after lunch. So what next? There is a diet journal on here which will help you work out some foods if they're affecting you. Candida. The thing that helped me most was when I had a nutritionist test me for candida. As I realised, I had many of the symptoms, so it was no surprise that the test came back positive. So yes, I still had food intolerances, but my digestive system was completely taken over by candida overgrowth, which got worse every time I ate anything with sugar or yeast in it. So I then cut out the wheat, dairy, yeast, and sugar for a year. I tried the medication that can kill candida, but it didn't work for me. It made me feel awful. But everyone is different, so it may work well for others. So I had to do it naturally. This made a huge difference. I lost some more weight and felt a lot better than before, realizing that, amazingly, about 70% of my ME symptoms were related to my food intolerance and candida. A bit more about candida. An overgrowth of candida, a yeast that lives in your gut, can result in a serious condition which causes a range of symptoms including chronic fatigue, thrush, abdominal bloating, depression, and if left unchecked, can also result in irritable bowel syndrome. Yeast and sugar feed the candida, so every time you eat anything with these in, it multiplies, and it nearly always causes food intolerances. A good way to test at home is not very pleasant, but will give you an idea of whether you have candida. Spit into a glass of water at night, and then, in the morning, look in the glass, and if it looks like it has grown and gone spidery and has legs, then it will be worth considering that candida is part of your picture. There is also a questionnaire this week to give you an idea if you have it. Once I found out I had candida, I avoided yeast, which is not just in bread, but in gravy, sauces, and many other foodstuffs. Unbelievably, sugar is in so many things you wouldn't even think it's in. Baked beans, nearly every sauce, jars, canned foods, such as soup. So it's not the easiest thing to avoid, but doing so will make a big difference to your energy levels. The effect sugar has on us is that it causes havoc with our blood sugar levels, which then rise sharply, then fall, causing fatigue as it also directs the adrenal stress response, which brings more symptoms. Cutting out sugar will have a bigger impact than you think. Once I found out what I was intolerant to and that I had candida, I started planning what I was going to cook. Having a plan and shopping for the foods that will help you is a very important step in recovery. As I improved, I made my own soups and had a plan of what I would eat if I had to go out. I made lunch and I took it with me. I mixed my own cereals to avoid the sugar in the boxed versions. They contain a lot of sugar. Try mixing barley, rye flakes, seeds, cinnamon, fresh strawberries and blueberries with either rice milk or coconut milk in a carton, not the tins. It really is a lovely breakfast recipe. It's important to be prepared. And then on those days when your energy is low, you may not have the energy to cook. So having soups prepared in the freezer makes life so much easier. Freeze a few meals when you have a day that you feel a bit better, or get some help from family and friends. I'm sure you may have tried lots of things, and Kelly certainly did. She goes on to say, I also tried the metabolic typing diet, which we will look at in a moment, because it more helped to calm down my system by eating the right foods for my metabolic type. But although it was helpful, I was still reacting to certain foods. So what next? Are you building a picture of what I did? I kept trying to do it myself, going from one person to another, not knowing what to do next. Then I did the thing I should have done in the first place. I saw a nutritionist. I kept trying to do it myself, reading, learning, trying different things, never having anyone really know what was going on. Different people treating me for different things. All I ever wanted was someone to help with the whole package, but I didn't know who could do that. Here in the Chrysalis Effect, you have access to a whole directory of accredited nutritional therapists and webinars that explain testing. But back then, I had no idea about the tests, what they could do, or who to consult. When eventually I saw a nutritionist, I had some tests done. And I discovered that I no longer had candida, which was a relief to know. That year of depriving myself of so many nice foods and chocolate was worth it. And I finally discovered why I still had gut problems and continuing symptoms. Parasites. I had two bad parasites. One was systemic, and the list of symptoms from that specific parasite alone was bad enough. I also had zero gut flora, which meant that I had no friendly bacteria to fight off the bad bacteria from the parasites and any other bacteria. That is why it took so long to kill the candida. 70% of our immune system is in the gut, and because of the state of my microbiome, my immunity was impaired. No wonder I was struggling for so many years and why I kept reacting badly to so many foods. My digestive system was not functioning properly. Can you imagine how much pain I could have avoided if I had been tested for all these together? I would have saved myself years of feeling ill and a lot of money on tests that I didn't need. And this is why I'm so passionate about this, because we try so many things, and the biggest problem is we don't know what we don't know. Because I was unaware that the parasites existed, I was never tested for them or for my gut flora. I had no idea. So the reason I've told you this is because if I had known back then what I know now, the first thing I would have done would be to go and see a nutritionist. Not everyone has this many digestive issues. So my advice is, if you're relating to my story in any way, then please make a plan to see a nutritionist or a nutritional therapist. Some naturopaths are also able to do many of these tests too. We are working with some fantastic practitioners on our program who are accredited in recovery from chronic exhaustive illness. They have a holistic understanding of these conditions. All of them can work online with you and send tests in the post. So just go to the members area and you can see them listed there. www.thechrysaliseffect.co.uk/practitioners. The other area that made a really big difference was supplements. The ones recommended to me, and which I still take to this day, are vitamin C, 1,000 minimum a day. Patrick Holford recommends that when you have a cold, for instance, to take 1,000 milligrams every few hours, as our body needs vitamin C for lots of other vitamins to work and to allow our cells to work effectively. So, when you have a cold, it needs a much greater amount to allow your body to fight the cold. Omega 3 and 6 fish oils. Omega 3 and 6 interact with each other, so the balance between them is crucial for good health. Together, they affect the production of hormonal type messengers called eicosanoids, which have an impact on inflammation in the body and all functions at cellular level. They are also good for improving concentration. Coenzyme Q10, CoQ10. This is a most amazing supplement and is beneficial on so many levels as it protects our bodies against free radical damage. It is also responsible for many essential chemical reactions in your body. It helps with weight loss as it stimulates your body's metabolism, increasing energy. Immune system, it significantly enhances immune function. Good quality multivitamin and mineral supplement. Good quality being the operative words. Vega is a good brand. They don't have to be too expensive, but the cheaper ones in Holland and Barrett have not got the right combination of vitamins and minerals, and they're not worth taking. Probiotics. Probiotics are live microorganisms, in most cases bacteria, that are like beneficial microorganisms found in the human gut. They are also called friendly bacteria or good bacteria. There are many advertised in yogurts or drinks, but all of these contain sugar, and this sugar can then kill the friendly bacteria, so the best options are the supplements containing at least 4 billion microorganisms. We mentioned metabolic typing and have a fantastic interview with Christian Bates, who will explain more. But first, let's give you an overview. Metabolic typing is one of the ways to find your individualized nutritional needs. It recognizes patterns in your physical, emotional, physiological, and psychological characteristics to produce food plans that are specifically tailored to the individual. These are based on what we call evolution nutrition. By this, we mean we should observe nutritional habits that our bodies have literally been designed for over millions of years. A great question to ask yourself with anything to do with health is, what have our bodies been doing for the longest time? Because it is that which we will be most adapted to. Let's look at a few examples. What fats are better for you? Vegetable seed oils or saturated fats found in animal meats? Well, go back a few thousand years and think about how you would make an oil out of vegetable seeds. Basically, you couldn't really. You just wouldn't have the tools to squeeze an oil out of them in the quantities we use today. Now, what about animal meat products? Of course, we would have been eating meat, and in fact, we have been eating meat for millions of years. This is a Paleolithic diet. So we are far more adapted to eating and processing the saturated fats in meat than in any other oil. And similarly, a good question is, are we more adapted to eating meats or grains such as wheat? The answer is virtually the same. Grains have only been produced in agricultural quantities in the last 10,000 years, a drop in the ocean compared to how long we have been eating meats. This is a possible answer to why so many people are wheat intolerant. Our digestive systems just aren't as well adapted to them. These are examples of general patterns in our nutrition slash evolution. We can get more detailed than this and look at our genetics and family background too. This is most easily explained by looking at extremes, Let's take, for example, the Eskimos. Their diet consists of nearly 100% animal meat and is extremely high in animal saturated fat. Most people know that the Eskimos have incredibly low rates of heart disease, yet we have been indoctrinated to believe that these are the exact foods that would be clogging our arteries if we even so much as look at it. An extreme in the other direction are certain African tribes where they are nearly 100% vegetarian, and they have the same fantastic health as many other indigenous cultures around the world. This is based upon research by a dentist called Weston Price. So would you make an Eskimo vegetarian or an African tribesman consume large amounts of meat? No, of course not. It's all about the individual and how their own body responds to the food they eat. We all look different on the outside, and our metabolism is different on the inside too. We will each respond better to different foods, different mixes of protein, carbohydrates and fats, and will even do better with different sized meals at breakfast, lunch and dinner. Some of us will thrive on 3 meals a day. Others would do better with 6 smaller meals. How do you think your diet is performing for you? The simple way to find this out is, how do you feel? If you are not as healthy as you want to be, then something needs to change. A very simple piece of advice is, try something different. If you're tired, have recurrent colds, infections, and other illnesses, and you eat vegetarian, then perhaps try not being vegetarian. If you are overweight and lethargic and eat meat at every meal, then try cutting down your meat intake and getting closer to being a vegetarian. Simply experiment with your foods. Try something new. The other piece of simple advice is to stop eating anything that is man-made and refined. Sugar, hydrogenated fats, etc. If it wasn't around 10,000 years ago, then don't eat it. Kelly has shared some great advice there. And as promised, there is a Candida screening questionnaire in this week's wellbeing exercises. As you journal this week, do complete your diet journal, as it could well hold an important key to transform how you feel. This week, you have two great interviews, an audio interview with Christian Bates on metabolic typing, and a transcript you can download of recoverer Claire Cotton May, who has some great tips with recovery. I will leave you with something to make you smile. Stressed, spelled backwards, is desserts. Coincidence? I think not. Author unknown. Enjoy your week focusing on nutrition, and remember to update us in the Facebook group on your discoveries.